So I've got to learn Italian, okay? And it actually, you know, they say it's easier, but I've been working on Slavic languages for so long, I'm not so sure how easy it's going to be. But we have three Italians in the ministry there that we've taken over in Aviano, and some of them do not speak English. So I need to learn Italian to be able to speak to them, and we're just asking the Lord to give me grace, give me the gift of language so that I can speak Italian and be effective in trying to pastor and minister to those people. Not only that, but we really have a great desire to see God continue to work. Now, the one exciting thing is that a lot of people in Europe now, in Slovenia where we've been working, actually well over 50% of the population actually speaks English just as well as you do. And within another 20 years, everyone will most likely speak English. They're learning English from right at kindergarten all the way up through school. There's literally children in Slovenia, Slovenian children, that don't even know their own language. They speak English and they do not speak Slovenian. So that's been a blessing because obviously that's given us the ability to share the gospel. And really, this is the key. The key is just like here. What we want to do is we want to reach people, and then we want to see them get the same desire and the same burden we have for their own people and train them and disciple them so they can go back and they can establish churches within their own people. And listen, that's what's going to keep a church there. Because if it's just a missionary there and I'm sharing the gospel and I'm running the church service and everything, you know what's going to happen when I leave? And I will leave eventually, whether I want to or not. I am going to eventually go on to heaven or the Lord will return. And so for that to go forward, we really need to see that happen. Europe is a very difficult place as far as it's where America will be very, very quick. And to be honest with you, from what I'm experiencing in America, it's coming there very fast. You know, in Europe, as far as the preaching of the gospel, it's been dead for quite some time. In our area, it's been a long time. And the truth is, the last time that I know that the gospel was preached fully and freely in Slovenia was probably 400 years ago. And so it's a place that needs the gospel. When I was in Kyrgyzstan, I thought certainly I'm on the backside of nowhere. There couldn't be any more unreached place. And then I ended up in Slovenia, and I said, wow, this is an unreached place. And does that mean that people are just flocking to the gospel? No. Pastor was sharing this morning in Sunday school, and I'm just going to put a plug in because I really enjoyed his Sunday school class. Listen, you know, if you can be here, you need to be here for Sunday school because that was good. The spirit, we're talking about the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of falsehood that's in our world today. And let me tell you something, it's had great sway across this world. And, it's destroyed and it's attempted to enslave people. That's what Satan does. He blinds people and he enslaves them to a false gospel. And they think they have, and they think they know who Jesus is, and they don't know who Jesus is. It's a different Jesus that they're teaching them. And so just pray for us as we go. But before I get any further in, let me just share with you a few things, because I know a lot of you probably don't even know who I am. How many of you remember me from 11 years ago? A few of you, okay? So a lot of you don't know who we are. I always start with this, and I'm mindful of the time, and I do have a message that I want to share with you, but just real quickly, my own personal testimony. And, you know, people like the pastor's dad putting his testimony, that's what I try to encourage our people to do, is to write out their testimony and put it online or somehow get the word out. You know, a lot of people are saying, how do I share the gospel with people? Well, just tell them what God has done for you, because if you'll tell them what God has done for you and how God spoke to your heart, can I tell you, that's the most powerful testimony and message of salvation you have. And, you know, when I was growing up in church, and that's one of the things I like about this church, I when I come here, I feel like I'm in a church of just, can you forgive me if I say this, and I don't mean this in a negative way, I mean it in a positive way, of just common folks trying to serve God. And you know, that's the kind of people that God uses. And I want you to know that I'm just like you, Okay, just because I'm a missionary and come in here doesn't mean I'm some kind of super Christian. I have the same faults. I have the same failings. I struggle with the same things that you do. And I say that because growing up in church, you know, I'd see a missionary come in and I'd be like, wow, you know, like that's, you know, I am never going to be able to be like that person. And, you know, then I'd look at the pastor and I'd say, I could never be like that person, you know, to like the pastor. And then as I got older, guess what? Then I found out everybody was just the same. And, you know, missionaries and pastors, they had all their own faults. And, you know, I had a decision to make. Was I going to trust God or was I going to trust the pastor or the missionary? Because, you know, people are going to let you down. And I don't mean to say that in a mean way, but, you know, our eyes aren't supposed to be on the pastor. They're not supposed to be on the missionary. They're supposed to be on Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's where our eyes need to be. And so when someone has a failing, when they fall, we don't have to follow them and be discouraged. We're looking to Jesus and we recognize that we're just as easy that we could do the same if we're not careful. And so as a young person, I always start with my parents. And no, I'm not saved because my parents are saved. But this is what I want you to think about, what God has done to reach you. What he's done to reach you. You know, the Bible says that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Can I tell you that God has been, he knew who you were all the way from the beginning. And he strove to reach each individual one of you. I want you to think about this, that God is a personal God. He knows you and he loves you personally. He knows exactly where you are. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, can I tell you, you're not here by accident. He's trying to reach you. He's trying to get a hold of your heart and help you to see who he really is and that you would come to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins and accept what he has done for you on the cross. But, you know, so I start with my parents because my parents, they grew up religious. Okay, they grew up in what we would call the Puritan church. If you remember back there in New England when they first came across, the Puritans were the primary settlers in New England, and that's where I come from. My relatives go all the way back to the Mayflower. That's where my family is. Some of the earliest American settlers from England. And they grew up, my parents both grew up in the Puritan church. They heard a lot about the Bible. They knew a lot about the Bible. They even used the King James Bible. And they knew a lot about the Bible, but they didn't know the Savior of the Bible. They hadn't accepted Christ as their Savior. And they got married. My dad was from outside of Boston. My mother was a farmer's daughter from way up in northern New Hampshire. And they met through different circumstances. I won't spend all the time sharing that, but they met and they got married and they moved to upstate New York. And my dad was working in the Cornell Research Farm and they were having trouble in their marriage. Now, my grandfather, he was an old American Baptist. And when my dad reached into his teenage years, my grandfather gave him a Bible. And he said, son, read this book and live your life by this book and you won't go wrong. So when my dad started having problems, guess what? He got that Bible out his dad gave him and he started reading the Bible. And he started looking at what the Bible said. Well, he had a coworker who was a backslidden Baptist, okay? You know, even God can even use backslidden Baptists, okay? He was a backslidden Baptist, wasn't in church, wasn't serving God. But my dad found out he knew a little bit about the Bible. And so my dad started asking him questions. And, you know, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Listen, my dad was hearing the word of God. He was reading the word of God. He was asking questions. And you know what? God spoke to his heart and he understood that he was a sinner. He understood that he needed a Savior. It didn't make a difference how religious he was. He needed a Savior, a personal Savior. That was Jesus Christ. And so he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Actually, on the job, they were sorting seeds at the seed table. He was working at a research farm, and that's where he accepted Christ as a Savior. My mom accepted Christ as her Savior about 2 weeks later. And my parents, you know, when they got saved, they got excited about serving God. They wanted to do something for God. And there was no Bible preaching church in the area where they were. It was a little town of Chatham, New York. And they got together with a couple other families, and they began to meet together as a Bible study, and then eventually there came a church planting missionary came and helped them establish a Bible preaching church right there in Ghent, which was the next town down, New York, and it's still there today, Bible Baptist Church of Ghent, New York. So I say all that to help you understand that when I was born just a few years after my parents accepted Christ. I was born into a brand new Christian home. And I was born into a brand new independent Baptist church preaching the gospel. And so I grew up in church. And a lot of you probably have the same testimony. Some of you do. And you know, as I grew up, you know what? I realized that it wasn't good enough for me to be a good boy. It wasn't good enough for me to know the verses. It wasn't good enough for me to know the songs. It wasn't good enough to do all those things, which I think we should teach our children. It came a point where I understood that I was a sinner and that I deserved the just judgment that God had declared against all sinners, and that's eternity in a terrible place called hell. And yet I also understood that God loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth because he loved us so much. He became a man. Listen, Jesus Christ was both holy man and holy God. He had to be a man to die for us. He had to be born of a virgin. All these things. And he came, he lived among us for 33 years. And then he willingly laid down his life on an old rugged cross to pay the sin debt that we could not pay. And he shed his blood that we might receive salvation. And it was free to all. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, it's open for everyone. Everyone. He died for each and every one of us. But it's not just universal, it's personal. Can I tell you, he loves each one of us. And that's one of the things I try to share with people, because listen, over in Slovenia and Italy, people have religion. They have religion all the time. But listen, they don't need religion. They need to accept a personal Savior who died for them. And that's what we're doing while we're overseas. That's what we did in Kyrgyzstan. And that's what we're going to continue to do as we go back. Just real briefly, what happened was later on, after I finished high school, I joined the United States Marine Corps, and I served for 10 years. It was during that time in the Marine Corps that God was, you say, were you running from God? No, that's just what God laid on my heart to do. I was, you can call me an idealist, okay, but I still believed our country was worth serving and even, if necessary, dying for. And I wasn't in a hurry to die, but you understand what I'm saying, okay? But I believed it was worth doing that, and I went in the Marine Corps, served for 10 years. I loved my time in the Marine Corps. God used that to help me grow closer to him, as faithful to him in the church, in the house of God. You say, how do you serve God in the Marine Corps? Get where God wants you to be and get involved serving God. And that's really what the military ministry is about, is providing a place for people in the military to get involved. We're there to reach people, but we're also there to help young Christians grow in the Lord, increase their faith, and Lord willing, go forward to serve God wherever God calls them. And so that's our desire in the military ministry. And out of that, when I was in Kaneohe, I surrendered to go to the mission field. Now, listen, I grew up in church, and I saw all kinds of people surrender to do all kinds of things. And the one thing I told God is, I'm not going to say I'm going to do something until I know that it's you. It's not an emotion. It's not someone preached a great message. But I want to know that you want me to do this. And that's what I tell young people. Listen, just go forward trusting God, serving God where God has you. And then when God is ready, he will direct your path to whatever he wants you to do. And when he does it, guess what? When he calls you, then you'll go forward and you'll stay faithful the rest of your life. And so this is the thing that God did in my life. It was through the military that God called me to go to the mission field. Well, we went to the mission field. I don't have time to share with you all that God did. My wife, I met her. I was 33 years old when I met her. We got married. We knew that God wanted us together. It was, I can't even share. I'd love to share it with you, but I can't. But can I tell you here again, and I know all the young people are pretty much gone, that listen, if you're worried about marriage, just wait on God, okay? If you wait on God, God will show you the right person. And when it's God, then you'll know it's the right person. It won't even be a question. And we're just so thankful for what God did. Well, we went to Kyrgyzstan, and the last time we were here, we had actually just come back from Kyrgyzstan. We had actually gone through a terrorist attack there where my family was held in our home. at gunpoint by terrorists. We thought, I'll be honest, I didn't expect to live the night. But God preserved our lives, and he took us through that. And I came back, and the last time I was here 11 years ago, we'd been back maybe 4 or 5 months, and we came and presented and shared with you the things that God was laying on our heart. And to be honest with you, at that point, I wanted to go back to Kyrgyzstan. And the problem was this, is that God was saying no. And I was fighting against God. I wanted to go back. It's where I love those people, and I love those children that we were working with. But God said no, and it took me about 6 months of just him beating my head against the wall to say, okay, God, I'm not going to go back. Well, at that point, God laid on our hearts the country of Slovenia, a little tiny country of about 2 million people, about the size of the state of New Hampshire. It's up in the northern part of what used to be called Yugoslavia, for all of us who remember, you know, the communist era, okay? And it's right up against the Italian border. Well, I was in the last three churches. So how did I end up in Aviano? I'll explain to you. Last three churches that I was at on furlough, the third to the last was in Jacksonville, North Carolina, which if you've been in the military, you know that's the home of the Marine Corps, the largest concentration of Marines in the world. I was stationed there for 5 years. I was in one of the churches that I actually attended while I was in the Marine Corps. And a pastor, after the meeting, he came up to me and he said, Brother Daniel, have you prayed about going to Aviano, Italy? They really need someone to go there. They haven't had someone in 2 years. Well, my first reaction was, no, I don't want to go. I didn't tell him that, but that's what I was saying in my heart because I knew it was a military ministry. And my heart's always been to the national people. Well, I went to the second to the last church, and the church I got there, and the pastor came up to me after the meeting. It's a couple hundred miles away. They didn't know each other or anything like that. He comes up to me after the meeting and says, Brother Daniel, have you prayed about going to Aviano, Italy? They really need someone there. And I said, okay, God, if you want me to go to Aviano, Italy, then I'll go, okay? And I said, I'm not going to fight with you anymore, okay? If you want me to go to Aviano, but you're going to have to put it together. I went to the last meeting, which was up in Richmond, Virginia. It was a missions conference. I went down to the foyer. They were a church plant, and they were meeting in a hotel. I went down to the foyer where the pastor told us to meet, and there was an older man down there, and I went over and introduced myself because I knew he was a missionary, and he said, my name is Brother Elbertson. I'm the head of the BIMI military ministry, and I said, God, this is a man I need to talk to. But I said, if this is what you want me to do, then I want him to talk to me, and then I'll know it's you. And, you know, you say, well, that's not a lot of faith. Listen, I want to know that it's God. I don't want it to be my ideas and what I want to do. Well, the second night of the meeting, Brother Albertson came up to me, and you know what he said. He said, Brother Daniel, have you prayed? Have you considered going to Aviano, Italy? We really need someone to go there. I said, Brother Albertson, God's already told me to go. Just tell me what I need to do. And so we went there. 11 years ago, at the time, we believed it would be temporary, and it was at that time. We were there for a year and a half. God allowed us to see a lot of things happen. God worked some great miracles. And at the end of that year and a half, Brother Chris War, who you saw in the slides, came, and he took over that ministry, him and his wife, Miss Luann. Now, they were saved in the military ministry in Rota, Spain, years and years ago. And they have served there in Aviano now faithfully for 7 years. During that time, we were working in Slovenia, and actually in Italy. It's right on the border, so we actually have a group of people we've been working with in Trieste and people we've been working in Slovenia. At the beginning of 2021, I went to the Lord. There's been a lot of things going on, and, you know, there was things that I just wasn't sure. To be honest, I was a little bit discouraged about what was happening in Slovenia and Italy. And, of course, COVID was at full strength at that time. Europe is much more closed down than it was here. And I was just praying, and I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? And there was things that God was just stirring my heart, and I didn't know exactly where the direction God would have us. To be honest with you, it wasn't the one that he ended up with. But halfway through 2021, as I was praying, there at the middle of the year, Brother War called me up. And Brother War and I have been close friends over the last 7 years. We've worked together. We're only 2 hours apart. And so we're closest missionaries together. And we worked together. We supported each other. I would come over and help him in the ministry, just like you do with some of the local churches here also. And so we were very good friends. He called me up and he said, Brother Daniel, I've got my health is deteriorating. He has spots of cancer on his liver. They've diagnosed that, and he's in a lot of pain in his abdomen. They don't know what's going on. We're praying that it isn't anything worse than what we already know. But the situation has become very dire that he needs to return to the United States. And he said, would you pray about coming back to Aviano, Italy? We don't have anybody to replace me. And we went to the Lord in prayer, and we asked the Lord. And the Lord made it very clear through his word and through the things he put in our life that the one place we're going is back to Aviano, Italy. Now, I'll be honest with you. Has it been a hard decision to make? Yes. We love the people in Savigna. And Lord willing, we're going to continue that work. It's only 2 hours away. And so our goal is to continue that. We have the people in Trieste. We're going to continue that. But we're going to be making our home base in Aviano, Italy at the Aviano Air Force Base. Now, I don't have all the time. I wish I could spend a lot of time. You probably wish I didn't. But let me turn you to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You say, when are you going to get to the preaching? Well, my message is a lot shorter than what I just shared with you. The reason is I want you to understand what I'm going to share with you, and I hope it'd be encouragement for you. But this is a passage that God used in our hearts over the last year and a half, 2 years. Because just like sometimes you get discouraged, sometimes when you see the darkness in this world, you may feel like, is it really worth going on? Can I tell you, pastors and missionaries, they go through the same thing. We're just like you. And so what I want to share with you today is something that I hope will encourage you and will help you go forward just trusting God. You know, we are living in an increasingly dark world. And, you know, I believe even from the Word of God that we know that we can expect this. This is going to be something that's going to happen. But you know what? That doesn't mean we have to give up, and it doesn't mean we have to get discouraged, and it doesn't mean we have to quit. God has given us a purpose to go forward. He's still, the command is still, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen, he hasn't changed the command, so it means that we need to go forward. But I want you to read with me real quickly. I just want to give you one verse, and I'm going to, if you'll allow me for the sake of time, and I'll give you kind of a brief overview of this passage. But the verse that God has used in our life, I want you to, actually, I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to start in verse 10 of John chapter 5. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be clear in what I'm saying, Lord. And I pray that I would be an encouragement to the folks that are here. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see you, Lord, each and every day. Lord, that our hearts would be turned to you, Lord. Lord, as we see this world turning increasingly against you, Lord, I know here in the United States, just from the last few months that we've been here, Lord, I know that the anger and the animosity that we're seeing from many in this country, Lord, against you and against the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be discouraged, Lord. Lord, help us not to want a desire to just go and hide, but Lord, help us to be the testimony that you have called us to be. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength. Lord, we know that it is not in us, but it is in you, Lord. Lord, help us to rely on you and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage here, if you went back to the first couple verses, you would find out, of course, the story of the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. And he was there, if you think about this, he was there for 38 years. And, you know, he was waiting for the stirring of the water, but every time the water was stirred, according to the Word of God, he couldn't get in the pool and be healed because someone else would always get there before him. And you could say, well, did that really happen? Well, it's in the Word of God, so I've got to believe that, yes, it really did happen, okay? And so we understand that as he was waiting there all these years and could not walk and could not get to the pool, Jesus comes by one day and he sees him and knows he's been there a long time, and he has compassion upon this man, and he asks him if he wants to be healed, and the man explains that he can't get there because nobody will help him, and then Jesus heals him. Jesus stops by and he helps him, he heals him, and he makes him completely whole. He makes him completely whole. And then he gets up, Jesus tells him to take up his bed and walk. He takes up his bed and he begins to walk. But you know what? There was a whole crowd of people that they weren't excited about him walking. Now, have you ever stopped and thought about that? They weren't excited about him walking. They were the religious crowd. They were the leadership of that day. They did not want him to walk. Now just think about that. Isn't that kind of what we got going on in our world today? It's the same thing. Listen, this world, the flesh and the devil, they do not want to see the lives of people made whole. They want to ensnare people. They want to trap them. They want to have control of them. And the last thing they want is they don't want to see Jesus pass by their life and change their life and make them whole. And, you know, as we were there in Savinia, as we were dealing with the things that we were dealing with, and we were dealing with the discouragement, you know, one night we were reading in our family Bible devotions, and we were reading through this passage, and we came to that verse, and it was like God just said, Daniel, this is what I want you to remember. We were discouraged, and I was thinking, I don't know how to even go forward today. I don't even know how to go forward tomorrow. Lord, it just seems like it's all over. And Jesus gave me that verse. As we read that passage, I looked at my wife, and you know what? My wife was looking right back at me, and God spoke to our hearts the same way. And I want to share with you three things that will keep you going. Listen, there's a lot of stuff that's going to stop you from serving God in this world. There's a lot of stuff that's going to keep you going forward from God, keep you from going forward for God. Listen, there's circumstances. There's health problems. There's all these struggles that we have going on in our lives. There's financial problems. There's this world that's fighting against us. And there's all these things that we're struggling with. And then you can also see there's a lot of religious problems. Can I tell you, people are religious. They're becoming more religious every day. And you may not believe that, but listen, it's happening. Can I tell you, even within independent Baptist churches, I think we need to be careful about religion. Religion, I hate religion. You know, it's been an effective tool, believe it or not, to talk to people, because when I start sharing the gospel to people in Savinia, you know what they say? Oh, I don't like religion. You know, don't tell me about religion. I'm like, you know what? I agree. I hate religion. Okay? Religion's all about man's ideas about God. It's not the truth. And what we don't need is man's ideas. We need the power of God upon our lives as Christians, and we need to share the truth with people so that they can come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, there's all that. Then this man later on, Jesus actually comes back to him and tells him to sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. That's in verse 14. And, you know, there's personal sin. Listen, it's interesting that Jesus warns this man about this, okay? Because Jesus doesn't actually, a lot of times, if you study the New Testament, he doesn't warn the people that he's healed about personal sin. Now, I don't know why Jesus specifically told this man that. I believe probably there was a reason, okay? And I suspect that it might have been something in his past. But can I tell you, it's a warning to us. Listen, personal sin will keep us going forward from going forward with God. Listen, we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to keep, if we sin, we need to make it right with God, and we don't need to be living in sin. I still believe in holiness and separation. I still believe it's important. I don't think it's old-fashioned. I think God has called us to be a holy people, set aside for his use and his work. Listen, we need to live holy lives for God. But what are three things that will keep you going? Three things that I see from this verse and what God laid on my heart. He said, first of all, he answered them, he that made me whole. Can I tell you, the first thing that will help you go forward for God is to remember who made you whole. Can I tell you, it wasn't the pastor? Can I tell you, it wasn't a religion? Can I tell you, it wasn't some group of people? It was Jesus Christ who passed by your life, and he made you whole. Remember who made you whole. If you turn over John chapter 6 and just look at the first verse, this is a verse that I often go back to when I'm discouraged, when I want to quit. It's another passage. It says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Can I tell you, there is no one else that has the words of eternal life. There's no one else that there's any hope in. You're not going to find hope anywhere else in this world except in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of this world. Listen, it's the only place you're going to find hope. There's no other place you're going to go. Where are you going to go if you quit on God? Where are you going to go if you say, God, I'm finished, I'm discouraged, I'm quitting? There's no one else to go to. You know, in the Marine Corps, we always sang this cadence. Ain't no use in looking down. Ain't no discharge on the ground. Okay? Can I tell you it's the same way? There ain't no use in looking down. Let's look up to our Savior. Let's trust in Him. Let's remember who made us whole. Who made us whole. But the second thing I want you to see is if you look at what he says next, he says, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed. Take up thy bed. Now listen, when Jesus healed this man, when he made him whole, do you know what? He gave him a purpose. He gave him a purpose. And that first purpose he gave him was what? To take up his bed. He said, take up your bed. Now look, God has made each one of us. He saved us, each one of us. You know what he's given us? He's given each one of us a purpose. You know what will keep you, what will cause you to fail many times is losing sight of the purpose that God has given you. A person without a purpose quits. They quit. And you know that. If you think about it in your life, a person without a purpose quits. But can I tell you, God has given each one of us a purpose. Each one of us is in this body of believers for a purpose. Each one of us is in Custard, South Dakota for a purpose. In the chapter just before that, Jesus says, the Bible says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. You know what? Jesus had a purpose. You know what? He's given each one of us a purpose. He gave that man a purpose. He said, pick up thy bed and walk. You're here for a reason. You say, oh, well, you know, I don't have any abilities. You know, I don't have a lot of skills. There's nothing for me to do. Yes, that's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus has put you here. God has placed you here for a purpose. Now, listen, a lot of people talk about self-esteem. You know, I was in education. I taught for 7 years, and I hate that word, self-esteem, okay? I hate it, okay? And I'll explain to you why. Your esteem shouldn't be coming from yourself. But can I tell you, God has valued you above all things. He sent his only begotten son. Can you understand that's God took upon flesh to die for you? How much do you think you're worth to God? You're worth everything he had, he gave for you. He was the creator. Do you realize that he put every tree out here? He built every stone out here. He made the first man. He made the first woman. And he made you. He made you just the way you are for a purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. And when we get discouraged, we need to remember who made us whole. And we need to remember that God has us for a purpose right where we're at, right now. And we need to do what he's asked us to do. And pick up our bed. But the last thing I want you to see that God showed me in this verse is that last word, take up thy bed and walk. You know, there's a part of this that we have to walk. Now think about this man. 38 years he had not walked. Do you know what happens to a person that hasn't moved in 38 years? Listen, their muscles don't just get small, they completely disappear. Their body reabsorbs the muscle. And you say, well, are you sure about that? Yes, I have a friend who was a Green Beret, jumped out of an airplane out in the Olympian Peninsula in Washington, hit one of those big cedar trees and hit every branch going down. Broke his back in multiple places. He's paralyzed from the waist down. He walks today because he has braces that he can hold himself up with. But if you look at his legs, they're about that big. They're just tiny, tiny little, they're just bone. They're just bone because those muscles have completely disappeared. And even if we could take my friend and we could take muscles and we could transplant them into his body, you know, and reconnect them to the nervous system, it would take him years to get to the point where he could actually use them effectively and walk. And yet this man, here he is, he hasn't walked in 38 years. You can imagine he has none of that. He has no coordination. He has none of that. But yet Jesus says, stand up, basically rise, take up thy bed, and walk. What do you think it took him to take that first step? Faith. One step of faith. You say, God has laid on my heart to do something. We have vacation Bible schools coming up in a couple days. There's all kinds of things that I know are going on here in this church. And you're like, well, I just don't know if I can do that. I don't, you know, God's laying on my heart to get involved and be involved in that. Listen, what is it going to take? You got to remember who it was that made you whole. You got to remember that he's got you here for a purpose. But then the last thing you have to do is you have to take one step of faith. Listen, the Christian life is a life of faith. The Christian life is not a life of sight. It's a life of faith. You know what it took for me to take that first step to go to Kyrgyzstan, a place I'd never been? It took me to take one step of faith and trust God. You know what it took your pastor to become a pastor? It took him to take one step of faith and say, God, I'm going to go one more day. I'm going to trust you another hour. Listen, we as Christians, if we're going to go forward, we've got to take that step, one step. You say, well, what's God's purpose? We just take the one step and trust him for the next step and the next step. If you'll do that, God will guide you. He'll direct you. He'll show you the way he wants you to go. But if we're going to go forward for God, we've got to be willing to remember who it was that made us whole. Remember that he has us here for a purpose. And remember, one step at a time in faith. That's what God asks us to do. Just one step. And I want to challenge you tonight, today, I'm sorry, this morning, as we close the service. This last couple years has been hard for this missionary, and I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm trying to be real that you understand. You know what's going to keep us going? You know why we're going to Aviano, Italy? Not because I think I have all the skills. Not because I think I have all the ability, because I believe this is the purpose of God in my life. And I'm saying, God, let me take just one more step of faith. It doesn't change as you get older. It doesn't even get easier as you get older. It's just another step of faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord. I'm encouraged, Lord. Every time we come, Lord, I'm encouraged. I thank you for their pastor, Lord. Lord, there's never been a time that I haven't been encouraged by what I see, what I hear. I want to thank you for the children, Lord. I want to thank you for the families that are here. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would, you take some of what I've said today, Lord, and Lord, if there's someone here that just needs to be encouraged, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to go forward for you. But Lord, I also pray for any that are here today, Lord, that have not accepted you as their personal Savior. Lord, it's no different, Lord. They've got to step out by faith and trust you. Believe that you've died for them. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today like that, Lord, I pray today they would step forward and put their faith and trust in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.